for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the first service of the Memorial Weekend Camp Meeting, Thursday evening, May the 23rd, 2002. Jack Harris of the Piney Grove Assembly of Beckville, Texas, and Henry Wright from Pleasant Valley Church of Thompson, Georgia, are the speakers on this.
In fact, today there are well over 130 different incurable diseases that I, as a pastor, deal with at Pleasant Valley. We know specifically what's behind that disease every single time. It's no more when somebody would come to me. If you came to me here now with a disease, you're not going to get a prayer. You're not going to get me laying hands on you. You're going to get a workout, because there's that much that has to be unraveled in your life and your family tree lives that you have inherited that needs to be dealt with, because God is more interested in what you're taking into eternity spiritually than He is the healing of your diseases today. I begin to understand something else, that if there was a particular spiritual defect behind a particular disease, that if we asked God to heal us, but did not repent or deal with that specific spiritual defect behind it, we were actually asking God to become codependent with us. And codependency, I have a definition for codependency. Codependency is calling evil good in the name of love. And because we're born again and we're children of God, we expect our Father to bless us in our disobedience and rebellion. But you see, we got a problem. Today, in most of Christianity, what used to be called sin is now just called a psychological defect. No longer do we call fear sin. No longer do we call bitterness sin. It's just the way I am. You don't like it? Too bad. Well, it's dangerous to your health, because the Word of God is very clear in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that all disease is a result of disobedience. Read it for yourself. And obedience produces all health. Read it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 15 is blessings. 15 to the end of the chapter. Whew, bunch of stuff. Right down to hemorrhoids. Say, hemorrhoids are the result of disobedience? Yeah. Would you like to know what kind? Anger. Inherited anger. It can be open or seething. It's there. We've made a study of a lot of things like thinning of blood vessels, swelling of blood vessels, rupturing of blood vessels, chronic nosebleeds, aneurysms, unresolved, inherited, and personal rage and anger, short fuse. Do you think being angry is a sin? I'll tell you what the Word says. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Because if you do, tomorrow you have the foundation seedlings of disease right at your door. Do you know what we've also discovered? That if we ask God to heal us, but we don't deal with the specific spiritual defect behind the disease, we're actually asking God to establish iniquity in the earth through us. I, in the early years of ministry, when the dust settled out, through normal prayer, laying on of hands, anointing with oil, got less than 5% success in the healing of incurable disease in Christianity. I've been teaching now for almost 20 years, and I haven't found a pastor yet. And I've talked to some of the healing ministries that you see on TV, and they don't get it either. More than 5%. And because you have 5% of your congregation healed, historically, does not make you a healing church. It just means you're failing 95% of the time. So before you put that shingle up that says you're a healing church, put up the other one. We fail also 95% of the time. I began in ministry, in all due respect to the Lord. I began in ministry where prayer was not working. Fasting and prayer wasn't working. What do you do, church, and what are you going to do when you come to the Father in the name of Jesus and you don't get what you asked for? Here's what you hear. You need more faith. Da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Then you hear doctrines based on our ignorance. Well, being a shepherd, and I really care, I don't know where that came from. I'm not interested in a 5% gospel. I'm not interested in a gospel that does not work 100% of the time. And if it doesn't work 100% of the time, it's because we don't understand. It isn't because of his failure. There's some area that we don't understand how our God thinks. And so if you don't, what do you do then? Go ask him. He'll begin to reveal it to you in Scripture. You have not because you ask not. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God will give it to him how? Most liberally. Upbraid him not because he has the audacity to ask. The principles that God has shown this shepherd boy and people lining up with God worldwide has produced literally multiple thousands of healings. So what? So what? God's perfect will is not to heal you. Now, I want you to hang on to your seatbelts. To pursue healing as the ultimate will of God is error. It's His grace and His mercy. But when you read Deuteronomy chapter 7 carefully, He says, if you will obey, if you will first hear, then obey and do His commandments, then he'll put none of the diseases of Egypt upon you, but he shall put them upon them that hate you. And since we have the same diseases of those that hate us, I wonder who hates who. Divine health is no longer taught in most quarters of Christianity. So why make healing and deliverance the first oracle of God? The principles of righteousness that will keep you from getting sick is a wonderful benefit to you, and it is something you can pass to your children and your grandchildren as a blessing, not a curse. But if you don't know, how can you understand? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13 says, God said, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. That's Hosea 4:6. Isaiah 5:13 says, God said, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. In Hosea 4:6, God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and the knowledge that you have been given, you don't even use. And listen to the rest of this scripture. And for that reason, I have rejected you as a priest, and I will forget your children. Now we come into inherited iniquities. What kind of knowledge have we lost? What kind of knowledge do we have? Well, I'm around. I'll be very honest with you. In most circles that I travel, running into pastors, if somebody's sick in their church and a simple prayer doesn't heal them, they send them into the world and never, ever consider it past that. And as far as the medical community is concerned, there is a place for the medical community. There's a place for doctors. But the medical community is failing in incurable diseases, because incurable diseases are the result of sin, unconfessed, undealt with, and the medical community is not qualified to bring you to repentance of sin. Your pastors are supposed to do that. Nor is a psychologist found in the fivefold ministry in Ephesians. And I think God the Father is really ticked off that psychologists have become the pastors of America. There's more to being saved than being born again. And salvation is more than being born again. I am dedicated, the man Henry, am dedicated to the healing, prevention, and eradication of all of the works of the devil on this planet. How about you? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose was Henry and my friend. What's your first name again?
Jack.
I thought it was. Wanted to make sure. Jack Harris. For this purpose was Henry and Jack manifest in their generation, that they might destroy the works of the devil. If I read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 correctly, and Ephesians chapter 4, for this purpose were you made manifest in your generation, that you might destroy the works of the devil. Acts 10 and 38, know ye this, how God, that would be the Father, anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Ghost. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Know ye this, how God, through Jesus Christ, anointed Henry Wright of Mars Hill, Maine, with power and with the Holy Ghost. And he goes about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Put your name in there. One thing has to happen in Christianity immediately. The church has got to get saved. The church is in as bad a shape as the Old Testament church was when Christ came 2,000 years ago. You check the psychological and biological sin issue diseases of the Old Testament church in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll find it in Christianity today. There's something wrong with this picture. Are you with me? Obedience is still better than sacrifice. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. To you, the church, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience after your obedience is fulfilled. Your power over the enemy is in direct relationship to your obedience to he who called you and to he who has saved you and to he who has redeemed you is the direct degree of your power. I get the biggest kick out of Christians using the name of Jesus today as if it were a mantra or as if it were just some kind of credit card. I want to say something in all due respect to the name of Jesus. There is no greater name. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. But I'll tell you what the Word says. He exalts His Word even above His name. He watches over His Word to perform it. And if you use the name of Jesus but are disobedient to His Word, He will not honor His name. And for this reason, we're not receiving what we expect when we use His name, because He will not be in disagreement with His Word, and He will not exalt His name above His Word. It's the foundation of sanity. It is a foundation of truth. I get a big kick in one of our books, The More Excellent Way. We have a block to healing. And the block to healing, of course, is unforgiveness. And we have all been cut our teeth on speak to the mountain. And if you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you shall speak to the mountain, and the mountain shall be removed in yonder sea. You remember that out of Mark or Luke? Mark 11. But that's 2021 and 20. But it says, and when you stand praying, forgive. When you stand asking for God for anything, forgive if you have aught in your heart against any. Now listen to this very carefully. But if when you stand praying, you do not forgive, your Father which is in heaven shall not forgive you your trespasses. I ask the question to audiences when I teach, does God forgive all manner of sin? Yes. No. When you became born again, did you ask him to forgive you for your sins? Do you believe he did? Yes. Did you continue in on any of them the next hour? You know how you feel about that mother-in-law. You know those high-octane things that come. You know that rage, that anger, the envy, the jealousy. You understand what I'm saying. You quit going to honky-tonk bars. It's probably less dangerous than hating your mother-in-law. You see, I'm a pastor. I deal with people all over the world as an under-shepherd. And I have people come to me all the time with disease. I got an email. I don't know if you're here, but somebody said they're coming all the way from Minnesota just to have a disease just so they can talk to me. And I have people come from all over that have these unforgiveness issues. Let's say that you came to me and you had a particular disease and the root behind it was unforgiveness. I know you teach an unforgiveness here and it's problematic problems if you continue in it. So I got this beautiful, beautiful son and daughter of God with this particular disease, and they come to me and they want God to heal them. And let's say that I know the root. Let's say it is aneurysm. Let's say it's heart trouble. Let's say it's congestive heart failure, which is rooted in self-hatred. Let's say it's whatever disease it is, and I can get the spiritual root. I can get them down to a place, and I said, this is the spiritual problem behind your disease. And they say, I'm ready to repent. Great! Is that going to be enough to move the hand of God? Listen to Mark 11. If when you stand praying, forgive. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Now here I've got this beautiful saint. I've taught them as well as I know how to teach them. I brought them to a place of repentance. But there's a block. Now we've got the root problem, which is a sin issue. But now we've got another problem. They have this unforgiveness towards an individual. And when they repent for the other issue, God is not going to forgive them for the sin they repented for until they have released every human being living, live, or dead. Before that throne room will release them from the penalty of that personal sin that produces the disease. Now do you understand why we're just getting 5% people healed in Christianity of incurable disease? Duh! We just didn't know. My people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God has raised this boy up to take care of his sheep. I've been called to the church, not to the unsaved. I've been called to the unsaved saved, if I may use that as a metaphor. I've been called, could I say it bluntly, to the sinning saint out of his grace. But you know what's really amazing? As I've been taking care of the sinning saint for all these years, the amount of unsaved people coming is incredible. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people getting saved, being added to the kingdom every day. I didn't go looking for them. You know why? Because he said he would add to the church daily those that should be saved. Do you understand? You just got to show up. So today, God has been moving in our lives. I'm the senior pastor of Pleasant Valley Church. We're in a small town of Thomaston, Georgia, 10,000 people, 25,000 in the whole county. Staunch anti-healing community. You talk about God healing you today and you're labeled cult. Right up top. You dare suggest that disease is a result of sin and you're out of your mind. So, but we're growing. We have, God has blessed us. Our ministry has gone worldwide by word of mouth. We've taught in other parts of the world. We are developing on 38 acres, Glenn, a retreat center. We have 38 acres of beautiful rustic land in the foothill mountains of North Georgia. We bought an existing RV park. We have a beautiful in-ground pool and fishing pond and hiking trails, about 3,300 lineal feet of land. We've got cabins and RVs and places to camp and hang out. Then 6 miles away in 97, God blessed us with a beautiful piece of property on 6 acres on prime real estate, which was an existing county school department left over from consolidation. We've got 6 acres there, 35,000 square feet of beautiful building, including a 10,000 square foot modern gymnasium that we've converted to a sanctuary seating 600. And there we have our offices. We have a program that is gaining international renown. In fact, as I'm talking to you here today, we're in the second week of our program called For Your Life and For Their Life. And I'm going to sow some seed into you guys here. May I talk just a minute? Are you in a hurry to go somewhere? If you fall asleep, if you snore too loud, an interpretation will be required. Just let you know that, okay? Just let you know that. But I heard your heart at dinner tonight. You've got some nice facilities here. You gentlemen have sowed your hearts into this organization. And I know that people are coming here, and I know what you stand for over the years, and those teachers that have come here, and to stand for deliverance of evil spirits and healing, and I'm 100% behind that. That's who I am in the Lord, too. If we got into a rap sheet here in the area of casting out of evil spirits, creative miracles, divine healing, I operate in that. I operate, and I don't mean to offend you when I say this, but in the book it says this, but I operate in all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't make a deal of it, and you never see it coming until it's over with. I never know when it's going to happen until he uses me. But that calling is a special calling to set in place and set in order his kingdom. And so I find myself moving in amongst the brethren. We're a trans-denominational church that's spelled T-R-A-N-S. Trans, not trance. Okay, so I'll make sure you got this right. What's trans-denominational? I like to say it this way, in spite of denominations. He's speaking in different places. In fact, you're from Fort Worth. I just finished 2 weeks ago a one-day conference in Garland at the Garland Theater. In October, I was in your area at the Mesquite Convention Center for a 6-day conference with a full day of healing. We go and do a major conference. It's 5 to 6 days. I teach for 40 to 45 hours straight. And then we have a day of healing. The day of healing is the body ministers to the body. One of the goals that I have is to bring the body to maturity. It's about time that veil that was sewed back up by what's quasi called the fivefold ministry learned it wasn't them that was called to do it, but they were to learn how to do it. They could train the body how to do it. If I understand 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the body is supposed to take care of the body. If I understand Ephesians 4, the leadership is supposed to be there to give good sound oversight, doctrine, and covering. So we teach, our church, Pleasant Valley, is a working church. In fact, I was gone for 4.5 months last year, wasn't home for one day in 4.5 months, and everything from administration to church services to praise and worship to our programs to maintenance went on without me. In fact, in our program For Your Life and For Their Life that's going on now at Pleasant Valley Church in Georgia, it doesn't need a superstar. It's the body doing the work of the ministry. And you know what's really funny? Is these ordinary believers that God has raised up through me teaching PhDs. Has God got a sense of humor? Ignorant and unlearned people that are turning the world upside down. And so I wanted to share this with you because part of my goal is to bring the body to a place of power. But it will not be a leavened church that God anoints. And it will not be an all-female revival that's coming, if there is one. I say it clearly, the first thing must happen in Christianity, the church must get saved first, beginning with the men. that the men can retake and reestablish the office of father and husband as a mirror image of God the Father and the Lord Jesus' husband as quickly as can be done. I do conferences all over, and we do a very fantastic thing called the Day of the Father Ministry. I've discovered a level of pain that has never been healed in Christianity. Would you like to see it in this room? Every audience is the same. And I'm going to ask you to do something, just to show you. I can be in any audience. I can be in anywhere that you want to be. And statistically, it's about the same. Denomination? When I was in South Africa, 26 nations, it was the same. How many of you here, when you were growing up as children, do not remember hearing your father say to you, with his lips, I love you? Raise your hand. Hold them high. Now, I want you to look around and see that you're not alone. Come on, hold them high so you see you're not alone. In this audience here, we have probably 50, 60%. Statistically, it's higher than that. Another audience that I go to, 80, 85, even 90%. When we have a night of ministry, a day of ministry, we bring the people, like if you raised your hands here, we bring you up here, and we begin to minister to that area that has produced so much pain, and the pain is deep. Behind that one area comes many of your autoimmune diseases, many of your different types of cancer. The father establishes the welfare of the family, the emotional and spiritual foundation is the father. And we've had some problems. So we deal with these issues at Pleasant Valley, but we have a program called For Your Life, where people come for their issues. Last session, this session right now, we have 117 people from all over the world. Every 2 weeks, year-round, 2 weeks on, 1 week off, we have an administrative break for 1 week. But every 2 weeks, we have a For Your Life and For Their Life. The first thing, the For Your Life, is you come for your issues. You come to deal with the stuff and all the diseases. The last group we had at Pleasant Valley, 117 people, I have 4 pages, small print, of the diseases that are in believers in just 117 people. I can walk into any church in America or Canada, and I know what's in an audience. I know the sin, I know the disease, and I know the issues. This needs to be known and taught, that we can get our healing. But it isn't our healing that God's concerned about. The first thing must happen, the kingdom of God must be established in the earth. The true kingdom, not a leavened kingdom. And who the sons and daughters of God really are must be known here pretty quickly. And it isn't because you signed a church roster of membership makes you a believer. You must be born again. Your spirit must come alive to God. You must begin to learn how to defeat that other kingdom that offers itself to you as if it were the kingdom. You cannot serve two masters. You must be prepared to cut out, cut away everything that is of the other kingdom. And sometimes you can't do it alone. That's why God ordained it not just be Him who you go to. In all due respect to talking to the Father in the name of Jesus, in all due respect to prayer, that God has also ordained that you be anointed to take care of each other in His name. The body must learn how to bear each other's burdens. All of you. All of you. And so we teach this in a program called For Their Life. So people come for their own life, and then they come to be trained how to help others. Just this week, this past Sunday in our service, brother, we had a Southern Baptist pastor. I won't tell you what town. Well, Mansfield. Is that close to Dallas? I had the pastor of that Southern Baptist came to hear me one day in Garland, Texas, just 3 weeks ago. He couldn't believe what he was hearing in one day. He came to our program For Your Life and For Their Life. Just this past week, as we do, we have a water baptism. You know how many Christians have not been water baptized? It's shocking. We had 18 Christians water baptized. Not sinners, Christians. in the last session out of 117 people. Then we teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you know how many Christians have not received since they believed, been anointed to do the works of God? And we want to make sure that they have the opportunity. This Southern Baptist pastor from your neighborhood received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on Saturday, testified publicly on Sunday that he had his prayer language. And he said, I don't know what my church is going to do with me. But he said, he's hungry. In your neighborhood down the street in Duncanville is a Southern Baptist church. Pastor's Terry Sutton at South Metro on Wheatland Road, suburb of Dallas. I did a 6-day conference in his church 2.5 years ago. We administered the baptism of the Holy Spirit in his church. We had 48 people come forward to receive. He's getting his doctorate at Luther Rice right now. You know what his doctoral thesis was? The consequences of sin called disease. I taught in a Southern Baptist church outside of Houston 4 years ago. I got a letter from the pastor. Thank you, pastor, for showing this, the consequence of sin called disease. So there's things happening in Dallas. We had a pastor's luncheon at the Holiday Inn just 3 weeks ago in Dallas. We had 60. We had an individual from First Baptist downtown, Ed Hecht, who was also with Bob George, People to People Ministries, attended. We had Southern Baptist pastors. We had 3 people from Kenneth Copeland's ministry, Eagles, whatever it's called over there, Eagles Nest. We had 60 leaders wanting to begin to network, a multi-denomination. So we have a lot happening in Dallas out of Pleasant Valley Church. But this is where it's happening all over the world. So you see, there's things happening as people begin to understand. Now, over here in Lake Hamilton, you have a beautiful place here. This place here has incredible potential. Now, I know you have conferences, what, 8 times a year? Is that what I saw in my brochure? You have conferences like this every 6 times a year?
Every holiday.
Every holiday. Well, I got to remember that. Every holiday is a conference. I want to say something to you, is that every 2 weeks at Pleasant Valley, we have between 100 and 130 people coming from all over the world by appointment only. We're backed up reservation deep by word of mouth. People wanting to come to deal with their lives and to learn how to help others. I can see you guys doing some of that here on your own. We'd love to network with you. Everything that we're doing over there, what you're doing here, we're not too far apart from what we're doing. We may have our different ways of thinking about it. But I cut my teeth on stuff like you guys teach here. I remember back in the old days, I used to plow in the Win Worley stuff. My God, where'd this man come up with this stuff? You know, I remember the days of, you know, Frank and Ida May Hammond and their stuff, and Derek Prince. I never forget a service of Derek Prince. Way back in the early 80s, he was having deliverance night. That service started at 7 o'clock, got out at 5:45 the next morning. I remember sitting cross-legged while he and Ruth worked casting out evil spirits publicly. I was never the same. I realized there was a kingdom invisible, and we had power over it. Begin to realize that diseases could be defeated. But because I realized it didn't mean that we were going to get the results that we saw because we saw it. So what God has done with me is help fill in the gap. What happens? I represent what happens when you pray and you don't receive after you prayed. Then it's time to go to work. When I pray for somebody and they don't get well and healed, I don't get upset. It's time to go to work. It's time to go back and find out why Satan has a legal right to their life. You say, does Satan have a legal right to a believer's life? If you've made that kingdom, Lord, he does. You may be saved as you could be, but in that area of your life, you've opened the door for Satan to be Lord, and there is a consequence to sin. There is a consequence to every work of iniquity. Every fruit has its fruit. Everything has a fruit. And so we must understand that. Well, that's kind of what's happening there. I'll share one more thing with you. Can I share one more thing since we're just having family night? I'm not really trying to teach you, I just wanted to share. Kind of get to know you. You kind of get to know me a little bit, how I think. If I get real serious and say something significant before I leave, I'll think about it. But I just want to share my heart. Our services at Pleasant Valley are different. We're non-traditional. Can I just share what our services are like? I don't mean to say what your services are wrong or right. It's just that what we've grown into. I've always wanted the church to have church. I've always yearned for the day that we came together, that the church could just have church. And so in our church at Pleasant Valley, we've patterned it after 1 Corinthians chapter 14. When you come together, all of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a revelation, have a tongue, have an interpretation. Let all things be unto edifying. So we set the stage. Well, I've had to teach now. You know, I've had to set some things in good order. But we come together and we begin to worship God. We don't stop worshiping God until we go home. And it could be 3 or 4 hours later. Our services last usually 2 to 4 hours. We have 2 services a week, Friday night and Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Then we have dinner on the ground Sunday. So it doesn't make any difference if you have a Big Mac attack. We're going to eat pretty soon. So you don't have to worry about getting down there fighting the Baptists for Ryan's. You know, you're going to eat around the ground. So we want to make sure we have time of fellowship. And so Sunday's a day of rejoicing and fellowship. But as we begin to come and worship God in praise, if the Spirit of God is moving on someone with a prophecy, a tongue, interpretation, a scripture, a testimony, as the Holy Spirit begins to move in the church, not us performing for them, we have in our church, pretty good sized building, is a plexiglass podium sets over to the side, and there's a microphone on it. And that microphone is on all the time. It's an open mic church. So over here, our church, our seats are all gray, and over here is a line going back this way, is a line of pink ones. And over here on this line, a line of pink ones. If the Spirit of God is moving on you and the Holy Spirit's painting a picture, which we'd like Him to do in a service, that we may understand and grow together, corporately, not just individually, and you go over and sit down, and who our leadership will let you come up, and the music stops, and the person begins to do what they want to do. When they finish, we go back into worship. When it happens again, we go back. If a teaching comes, it comes. Last year, I think in 6 months, I taught one time in 6 months as a pastor. I couldn't get a word in edgewise. And you heard so many sermons being preached, that what'd you say? I mean, you might have had something. It wasn't. It means, you know, it was important, and you say it. And sometimes we do have things we say. And there's a sovereign, I mean, I don't like to preach sermons just for the sake of preaching a sermon. I got a big kick out of these guys that are subscribing to these pastor sermons bureaus. Maybe you've seen the magazines coming, subscribe and get your sermon, including antidotes and jokes and stuff prepared for you. If you can't hear God for your own flock, you need to quit. Just get out of it. I mean, you're just kidding yourself. Just get out of it. You're in the wrong place. You can't hear God for your own flock. Amen? It's the truth. But we just begin to flow like that. When I was studying church history, I got a really... They used to have a section called the anxious seats. Remember, you ever heard the old church back in the 1800s, anxious seats? They used to have a section of benches that if you were unsaved and the Holy Spirit was bringing conviction on you and you held this stern, Mom, you need the keys to my unit? Okay, you guys leaving, taking baby? Okay. She's wanting Grandpa? Hey, baby. All right. My granddaughter, she just wants me. Okay, yeah, she's nodding her head. Yeah, well, Grandpa. All right. The anxious seat meant this. If the conviction of the Holy Spirit was on you for a decision, including salvation, in order to indicate that publicly, you went and sat down as a public confession that you were making a decision. That always impacted me. And I've always had this opinion that when we came together, we're one family. for the family of God. Because we didn't get along in earthly families, or may still don't. Or church families aren't too much better these days. It's sin. I ought to be able to come in here and be at home. I ought to be able to come in here and get help from you. I mean, isn't what this is all about? I mean, a living organism? I mean, isn't what this was all about, isn't it? Sure. So I created a section called the earnest section. We don't call it the anxious stage, we call it the earnest section. Even the service is moving on, God is dealing with you. It could be salvation. It could be you have a sin issue. It could be you have a conviction, there's an area of your life you want to get right. It could be anger that you need to repent for. Maybe you're just bound by spirit of anger. You just can't get rid of it and you want to deal with it. The people will come and check in with our leadership and come down and sit. And right in the service, we stop to meet you right then on the spot as God is dealing with you. Everything comes to a halt. We deal with it. I had a Baptist preacher walk in the other day that had a problem, and he had an evil spirit in him. Can you imagine a Baptist pastor having an evil spirit in him? He began to confess this thing. And I looked at him, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you foul, unclean spirit that's been in this man for 50 generations, get out of him. And he looked at me in horror, and this thing manifested. He went flat on his face, and the thing came out of him with a scream, and he was set free. Right in the middle of a Sunday morning church service. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, what if somebody gets over here on the open mic and says something wrong? Bless God, it's the best place for it to happen. That way we all can hear what's going to be said in private anyway. Well, they might have error. That's the best place to hear it, right in the church, so we can have a Bible study. I had somebody come in the church about 3 or 4 weeks ago and get up and gave some error behind that open mic. And I said, well, that's an interesting concept. Let's see. And I went right over and I began to pull the scriptures and begin to read the scriptures. And we had a Bible, not to embarrass the individual, but in love, said, you know, that's a point. But let's just kind of go here. Let's let the word speak for himself. We're going to have a Bible study and set in order sound doctrine in the church right on the spot. So that's why our services last 3 or 4 hours. And nobody wants to leave because there's always something going on. I've worked hard to get the church taught a maturity at this level. But that's the way it should be. That's what 1 Corinthians 14 is for a pattern of church services. Anyway, so that's what's happening with me. I'm Pastor Henry, and that's what's happening at Pleasant Valley Church. And we're so happy to be here. And I want to give you a little idea that I'm not a healer. I'm a sheep herder. And whatever giftings God has given me are His, that He shares. And anything that I would share here while I'm here, I ask him to give me the words you need to hear. There are some areas that I teach that are filled with a lot of medical knowledge because there's a lot of medical information behind disease that needs to be known. And so anything we can do over here to help you, be part of you, grow up with you, undergird you undergird us, then we're happy to be here. And I didn't mean to preach so long. Anyway, God bless you.
Well, are you ready for prayer meeting in the morning now? Okay. It's not late. It's only 9:30. My, how'd that happen? We've been here sometimes at midnight. We've been here a few times after midnight. Well, maybe we will tomorrow night. We'll see what happens. Bill Smith's going to teach us in the morning, preach whatever, Dr. Noel and Mildred tomorrow afternoon. And I'll tell you what we're going to do tomorrow night. We're going to let Jack visit with us a little while again tomorrow night, and then we're going to let Brother Henry have the rest of the night. But the rest of the night's not 9:30. We'll let it be that way tonight, but we'll look forward to a little longer tomorrow night, okay? And I'm sure that you can get up and don't have to sleep. I get about 4 hours. If I get 5 hours sleep a night, I've got a lot of I've slept a whole lot. So those of you who have to sleep 8 and 10 hours a day, you need to get prayed for. That's not natural. That's not natural. Okay. You can study and you're told that 6 hours sleep is all really that anybody needs. And after that, why, you just think you need it. Okay, let's stand. And you won't have any excuse tomorrow morning, because you're going to get a long night's sleep tonight. Father, we thank you for your anointing and your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to study your word and to be taught your word and to hide it in our hearts, Father. And we will not sin against thee, but to hold it in righteousness, that we can walk before you in righteousness and holiness, that men will know that Jesus lives, because he lives in our hearts and lives. Because we're the only place that you can live today where men can see Jesus, and help us to be good examples. And I thank you for it. Give us rest tonight. Watch over those who are traveling. Be with them. Protect them. The angel of the Lord be their protection. And I thank you for it. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.